Psalm 119. I'm going to direct your attention to verse 49. Psalm 119, verse 49. Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts. It's been a hard day for me personally today. You know, no doubt, what's all over the news and what's happened today. Charlie Kirk, who I strongly believe is a born-again man, you look at his testimony and it's quite clear. He was assassinated today. And I don't know about you. I'm just speaking for myself here in this moment of honesty, but I took it pretty hard today and almost like I didn't know Charlie Kirk as a friend, but I knew him as a person who was influential, a person who was, I believe, a brother in Christ, and it felt like he was one of my dear friends. That's how I took it today. And I struggled, honestly, for a while today. Struggled with questions. A lot of questions of why. Questions of what now. And confusion. And you think of it, I probably felt it, thought it. Roller coaster of emotions, to be honest. Stunned, but then rage and anger. And the Lord reminded me of some promises. The Lord reminded me of some truths concerning Him. And we always want to find a reason. We always want an explanation. We always want something that we're looking for to try to bring some comfort, some sanity in this world. And the Lord reminded me of some truths today that I want to share with you tonight. And I'll start really by saying, the world is crazy. I don't need to tell you that for you to know it. It's insane, in fact. There's so much that's just out of control in this world. And what is happening is anything but normal and anything but natural. And I don't have to tell you that the world is crazy for you to understand that the things that are happening are truly completely out of control. And we could go down the line of what has been in the news as of late. But I would say this, the farther along it goes, the more things are going to affect our own lives. We've been insulated in America, but it seems as though that might have, well, how do I say this? That insulation has maybe provided or created maybe a false sense of ease and comfort, maybe a false idea of the reality of the wickedness of the world, and maybe even produced cowardly Christians. But the farther things go, the more it's going to affect our own lives. And there was a point in time, even today, just a feeling of, ugh, how do I make sense of all of this nonsense? And how do we navigate through life even with such horrible things that seemed to be happening more and more. And the Lord brought me back to you and reminded me of some truths. And I think we find some of the same sentiment in our passage here tonight, that the psalmist is sort of grappling with that very same issue. And the first five verses deal with some frustrations that he's having in this world, and he wants to maintain his hope. And so he asks God to remember his word toward him. And it was his word that actually offered him hope in the first place. And he states in our text that he's still in the midst of some difficulties, some problems, some troubles, but God is his comfort. And as the psalmist was surveying or viewing what was happening around him, he sums it up in verse 53. He says, "Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law." I don't think it's any stretch to say that there's some horror that has even happened today in the last few weeks, just things happening in this world. It's horrible. It's horrible. But as we look at the world around us, we could sympathize in many ways. And we can sense the frustration and the struggle to maintain balance and when everything else seems like it's out of balance, to have the right perspective, to have a focused perspective. And this psalm gives us some good principles and some reminders, I think, that can help us. They certainly have helped me today. I want to share them with you. Help us as we navigate, as we walk through, and we sojourn in this world. And I'm thankful this world is not my home. Amen. I want you to note, first of all, the psalmist states that comfort comes from God's word. In verse 49, he says, "Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." The psalmist states that his comfort comes from the word of God. He speaks of hope in verse 49. He says that upon which thou hast caused me to hope. And he says, what I have hoped in is the word of God. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. The word here, he's speaking, of course, of the word of the promise of God. God had made specific promises to his people through his word. And this is a prayer of the psalmist, praying that God would be true to that word, that he would not fail to fulfill his promise to the psalmist. He talks about hope. You know the word hope, what it means biblically. It means confident expectation. And I would say, by way of application, that this is what faith is. Trust in the Lord. Trust, though, that is built upon the character, integrity, and consistency of God, even in troublesome things. It is founded on the promise that God said he would not let his word return void. It is founded on the promise that God said he would never betray or turn away from his people. This is what he's promised. And it's his word that makes our faith valid. He's promised, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." As the psalmist begins to look for meaning, as he begins to look for meaning in this irrational world that's all around him, the first support that he clings to is his confident expectation in the word of God. And I would say to you, what else do we really have in times of trouble? The kind of trouble that makes us feel trapped and even almost out of hope. Like, what's the point? We all experience different things in our life that make us feel a certain way, but do we cling to God and his promise? Do we repeat the promises of the Lord back to him? Do we reflect on the character and the integrity of God? You know what? Checking social media for updates isn't really going to make us feel better. It's not going to make us feel more safe. Then the psalmist speaks of the help that God's word has been to him in verse 50. "This is my comfort in my affliction." Notice that the comfort he has comes after quickening. Notice how he says, "For thy word hath quickened me." The word quicken there, you know, it means to make alive. Revived is a good word to use to help us understand the concept. And he says there's been reviving or coming alive in the Lord from the word of God. And then came some comfort into my life. The psalmist said in his affliction, it was the word that gave him comfort. You know what? If you want any kind of real comfort in the midst of adversity in your own life, there's only one lasting place that you'll find it. It's the word of God. Men's words can be helpful, but they cannot speak peace to the heart like the word of God can. Have you ever tried to comfort somebody who's hurting, grieving over tragedy and loss? What do you say? Sometimes there isn't anything to say. Sometimes there isn't anything that you can say that's going to bring comfort. Sometimes all you can do is just be there. Sometimes all you can do is just put your arm around them, cry with them, because there's no way to say to them what God can say to the heart. Only the Word of God and the Spirit can speak that peace. And it reminds us, even the things of today, it reminds us that the child of God is not exempt from affliction. The psalmist says, in my affliction, what he was experiencing, it was the word of God that gave him comfort. We don't have a choice in that. It's a sin-sick world. However, we can be comforted in the midst of it. I'm reminded at times, specifically, that unless God gives us a word to the heart, we don't really have comfort anywhere else. Our hope, our help, comes from the word of God. Notice verse 51 and 52. Now he speaks of some conflict. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remember thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. He speaks of the arrogance of the wicked in verse 51. He says, the proud have had me greatly in derision. That word derision, it means attacked. It means ridiculed. It means mocked for a stand that you take. The psalmist says, the proud have had me greatly in derision. They've attacked me. They've ridiculed me, mocked me for a stand that I take. You know what? The world laughs. The world mocks at truth. In fact, the world has laughed and mocked at those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and the Bible as the Word of God. You know what? They hated Charlie Kirk. Not just because of his conservative views. He openly preached the gospel of Jesus Christ at his events. I loved watching it. Boldly, proudly proclaimed his faith in Jesus Christ, that he's the only Savior, and the only hope for your soul is the Lord Jesus Christ. Charlie often said that Jesus died so that you could live. It was the message of truth that he proclaimed that truly brought the hatred that led to his assassination today. If you take a stand for the Lord, you're going to face ridicule in this world. Accept it. It might be in a different form. It may not be the same. It may be from family. It may be from coworkers on the job. But guaranteed, mark it down, you stand for truth and right and you proclaim Jesus Christ, there's going to be conflict. Jesus said in John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We've been insulated from it in our country, but maybe not anymore. When one dares to stand on principles and truth, it will naturally bring conflict with the self-willed man. The God of this world hates light and truth. Notice when the psalmist experienced this conflict, it drove him to God and it gave him assurance. He said, "The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself." He says, "I have not declined. I've remembered your judgments." He reflected on what God had done in the past. He was assured that God would do it again. Reflecting on God and His character is what always helps bring comfort to the soul. That's where our focus has got to go. He said in verse 52, "I've comforted myself." What an important statement. You know, we cannot have everything spoon-fed to us. We can't ride on the coattails of somebody else's strength and faith. Praise the Lord for people who are strong when we're not. But ultimately, we must for ourselves be able to get into the Word of God and learn how to go to God ourselves for His strength. That's where real assurance comes from, because there might be times when you don't have anyone, but the Lord is always there. Notice verse 53. He says, "Horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law." The world should horrify us, not draw us. How many Christians are drawn to the world? I think the truth of the world was demonstrated today. What they're really about. We should never become accustomed to what the world normalizes. God's word still needs to be our standard for living and functioning in this world, even if they hate it. And if it is, guaranteed there's going to be conflict with the culture. 1 John 5:19 says, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." But you get to verse 54, and you start to see some consolation coming into the psalmist's life. He says, "Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had." What does he mean, "this I had"? He's talking about comfort. He's talking about peace. He said, "I've had it because I kept thy precepts." He said, "Thy statutes have been my song in the house of my pilgrimage." That word pilgrimage there, it means a temporary dwelling. And the idea that the psalmist is conveying is that one thing that kept him singing as he sojourned through this temporary dwelling called life was the Word of God. The psalmist says, in essence, while I'm passing through this life and with all the crazy that's happening around me, in the midst of this crazy world, God can still put a song in my heart, and it's obedience to God and His Word for the child of God that gives us peace, that helps us not to be burdened with the fears and the things that happen in this wicked world. In verse 56, he says, "This I had," this song, this peace, this comfort. "I have, and I've experienced it. It's not in the words or comfort of men, but it's because I've kept and lived by the Word of God." No one can comfort the troubled heart or say to the heart what God can say through His Word. You're never going to make sense of things in this world. There is no peace for the child of God apart from the truth of God's Word. We have to look at things through the lens of truth. We can't look at things through our feelings. There's a lot of big feelings happening. I had a lot of big feelings today. There's a lot of other people who've got some big feelings. But we can't look at things through the lens of feelings. It's got to be through truth, through God's word. And I want to just give you a few takeaways from today and some things that seemed true of Charlie Kirk that are really a challenge to us as Christians in this world. And I really struggled about what to say, what truth to give. I don't know how much you know of him, but he's really influential. And it's a sad day. It's a sad day for our country. It's a sad day for a lot of Christians, brothers and sisters in the Lord. But there were some things that were true of Charlie that I want to share with you. First of all, he had some convictions about him. Charlie Kirk was unwavering in his stand for biblical truth in a world that constantly is shifting its moral compass. He didn't bend to political pressures or cultural compromises, but he was anchored in the unchanging Word of God. He truly walked by faith and not by sight. He claimed 2 Corinthians 5:7 often. His conviction to what he believed in teaches us that faith, our faith, friends, is not merely believing quietly in the background or from the sidelines, but living courageously in the face of opposition. I think our American way of life, in many cases, has produced comfortable, cowardly Christians. People who are afraid to speak up for truth. People who are afraid to take a stand because they're afraid of what their family will say. They're afraid of what their coworkers will say. They're afraid of what other people in the world will think of them. That wasn't Charlie Kirk. He had some convictions, but he also had some courage. It takes bravery to stand for Christ in a hostile place, hostile platforms. Charlie knew criticism would come. He often experienced it every time he had an event, and yet he pressed forward and he declared that Jesus is Lord and truth is absolute. His courage was on display all the time. One verse that Charlie Kirk often claimed was Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. I admired that about him. His courage reminds us that as Christian people, silence is not an option when souls hang in the balance. We're commanded to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We're commanded to be a witness for Christ. And yet how many Christian people are cowardly in their witness for Christ? They won't be. They stay silent and on the sidelines. And they have no courage to speak for truth. Souls hang in the balance. And it takes some trust in the Lord, some faith, some courage in the Lord to stand in an evil day. Charlie had some clarity. I don't know if you ever watched any of his debates or his events, but he had a gift for cutting through confusion, bringing clarity to what might be complicated cultural debates. He went beyond politics. And he went beyond politics and earthly kingdoms to the eternal kingdom of Christ. He often pointed people who were standing there in front of him, talking to him, in large crowds, he often pointed them right to Jesus Christ. He's the answer for your soul. He's the answer to the problems. His clarity teaches us that when darkness is spreading, It is the light of God's word that has to shine even brighter. Darkness is spreading through religion. What is it that's going to make a difference? It is the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the light of Christ shining through God's people. It's got to shine even brighter. He was bold. But you know what else he was? He was compassionate. He was bold in the truth. But the message that he gave was driven by compassion. It wasn't a right and left issue with him. He saw people not as opponents that should be destroyed, but as souls that need to be saved. And he often reminded his audiences that God's grace is available to all. I believe that Jesus' words rang true in his life. The words of Luke 6:35, to love your enemies and to do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. His compassion calls us to see beyond politics and arguments. This was a political assassination, but it was far deeper than politics. We need to fix our eyes on the eternal worth of people's souls. That's what we need to fix our eyes on. He had compassion, but he also had some commitment. I don't know what you know about him, but he founded a movement that was mobilizing the next generation, not just in politics, but to boldly proclaim Christ in the public square. He was committed to his calling. He embodied Colossians 3:23. He often claimed and quoted this verse, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." But I think his commitment challenges me. It challenges me in this, and I would challenge you with the same. Are we giving our lives fully to God's purposes? Or are we wasting precious time on fleeting pursuits? Are we really committed to the cause of Christ? Or are we comfortable Christians living out our days, working to bring some sort of comfort, contentment in this life? Charlie said recently, he says, you're commanded to go do something productive with your life, to go give and to produce and to risk, and then to go sow into other people. That is a biblical idea that has made the world a profoundly better place. That's what we're called to do, to sow into other people, to sow the seeds of the gospel, to be involved in other people's lives. And I think there's a call to us as Christians, maybe one that needs to be refreshed and rehearsed in our heart and our mind. Charlie Kirk was a man who had a testimony. And you can say, well, you just admire him. I do. But listen, Charlie Kirk's testimony is not merely to be admired. It's to be emulated. We need men and women of conviction who will not waver in this dark world, who will have courage not to bow to the culture, who have clarity to speak truth into the darkness, who have compassion for the souls of men who need salvation, and then be committed to the cause of Christ and endure until the Lord calls us home. That's real Christianity. I think of the Apostle Paul. I think of the disciples of the Lord. Think of Christ himself. Men cried, "Crucify him, crucify him." But for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, thinking little of it. And he finished the work that his father gave him to do. We know that the Bible talks about life being a vapor. James talks about it. Charlie Kirk's life, like a vapor, has vanished from this earth. But his bold witness still speaks. And what I'm saying is, this is no time for half-hearted Christianity. The world is dark. The days are short. Eternity is at stake. And as Christian people, instead of fearing, instead of fading into the background because of a wicked culture and fear of what other people might think, as Christians, we need to go forward with the gospel. We need to go forward with the gospel in our heart, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ before our eyes, and be bold and be brave, be courageous with the truth until our life is over and until we stand before Christ. It challenges me. It inspires me. I don't want to forget it. I don't want to lose it. I don't want to quit when there are times like I feel like I want to quit. But let's not. And let's go to the Lord in His Word for comfort, for strength, to move forward, to not cower in fear. That's what the world wants. That's what Satan wants. He wants to strip you of your ability to stand, rob you of your confidence in the Lord, shut you up, keep you quiet. That's what the devil wants. Because it's not political, it's spiritual. And souls hang in the balance. I don't know if that's done anything for you, but it sure did for me today. I needed that. And my prayer is that you take something from it, whether it's to comfort your own soul, whether it's to be strong in the Lord, to ask the Lord for courage, strength to stand, to be vocal, to be strong. Let's not be cowardly. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your word and thank you for the comfort that it can bring, that your promises are always true. The psalmist struggled himself with events of his day, the horrors of the wicked world around him. But he went back to the Word of God for strength, for comfort, for resolve. And he said, I had that peace in the midst of it all because I've kept thy word. Lord, help us to live by the standard of your word, to be obedient to the cause and the commands of Christ, to live by faith and not by sight. This world is sick. It's deranged. It's on a downward spiral. Mankind is spiraling out of control, and not the first time that it's happened in the history of mankind. Lord, may we be strong and bold with the truth. May we not cower and hide. But Lord, may we let our light shine before men. We need your help. We need your strength. And it's not a wonder that Jesus said, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? Help us to be people who shine the light, who stand in the gap, and be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. May we stand in an evil day and having done all, stand. Father, we need you. Lord, we need your comfort, your peace. We also need your strength. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just keep our heads bowed and eyes closed for a minute. We're going to pray. We're going to forego some of our regular Wednesday prayers.